This is the second hour of the roundup with Matty Johns alongside us this morning as we dig into the news. Of course, Nathan Cleary is out. We've poured through the options for Brad Fittler and for Greg Alexander and co heading in towards game two. Nicho Hynes, Adam Reynolds, Mitchell Moses in the mix. You can have your say on that one on our voting line on our Twitter page, our Twitter poll, in fact, at Matty White. SEN, but let's move on to the other issues of the day, Matty. And the Shane Flanagan question is an interesting one. I read you out a text that one of our listeners sent through. Another one, the Daggy Dragon, says Shane Flanagan also has a point to prove to fix his reputation. It appears as though the sticking block was the fact that the board needs to be unanimous here, and Peter Doust in particular wasn't on the side of Shane Flanagan. So if that's turning around, or if that has turned around, can you see Flanagan moving up the list of contenders, yeah, or would you still go towards a Dean Young or a Ben Hornby? Hard to pick.
I would definitely go for an experienced man, Matty. And I said this on the show last night. I think if the Dragons look at Dean Young and they say, righto, we want him to be our Trent Robinson in the future, we think he's capable of this, of being a long-term coach, then I don't give him the job right now. Because I think it's too big a job. There's too many tough decisions and there's too much instability for a rookie coach. I put in a hard ass, for use of a better term. I put in a Shane Flanagan or a Michael Maguire and put them in for a couple of seasons. They'll make tough calls. They'll make tough decisions. I think they'll bring a bit of stability to the club. And then if you want to bring in a young guy, like a Dean Young or a Ben Hornby, you do it then.
So give an experienced coach a couple of years. Yep. Say to him the succession plan here is a Dean Young or a Ben Hornby or whoever it's going to be, and that's 2-3 years down the track. Does an experienced coach buy that these days?
I think they would. Look, with Flano, I mean, who knows, it might change. You know, he might get there in the second season, gets him into the final four, and they go, we'll go again. But for guys like, say, like you said before, with Shane Flanagan, if you said to him, listen, we just need a couple of years from you that we're going to succeed, he'd take that. For him, it's about rebuilding, showing he's still got it, and putting his, you know, showing everyone his wares, putting his wares in the front window.
Do you think the Dragons have put themselves into a position of more pressure here? I listened to Ryan Webb being interviewed on the breakfast show last week when the Jason Riles thing fell apart, right? So that news came sort of out of the blue to some. And Ryan Webb, I thought he was very good. He was up front. He fronted our radio station at breakfast. But one of the things that he did say was, you know, we need to get back there and we need to start looking at the next best, which I thought was a poor phrase. And we need to get this done in the next couple of weeks. Words to that effect. Do they need to get it done in the next couple of weeks? They've got Ryan Carr there as the standing coach, and they've got the rest of the season. They're not going to change anything until next year. So is it a matter of urgency?
Matty, look, I think the sooner they get someone in, like it, whether it be Michael McGuire or Shane Flanagan, they can start to make some tough calls, okay? And the calls that seemingly that other people won't make. And the sense of urgency in my mind is around Ben Hunt. Is you've got to start to get some clarity for Ben Hunt, because I've got no doubt there's some other clubs circling him and maybe having a discussion with his agent. I think in the next couple of weeks they need to come to a decision. They dilly-dallied on sacking of Anthony Griffin. You know, like how they handled that mirrored what happened with the Jason Riles situation, how they dilly-dallied. I mean, even Anthony Griffin must have known he was gone. But the way they dragged it out, they almost tortured the bloke. Even his most vocal critics would have started to feel sympathy for Anthony Griffin towards the end. And then they finally sacked him, and then you're going, okay, now they're going to appoint a coach. And they just dilly-dallied on Jason Riles and just left the door open for the Melbourne Storm, who come in and pinched him. They're just, guys, you know, make a decision. Get it done.
One player shouldn't determine who your coach is, but if Ben Hunt is so crucial in all of this, I mean, they went away from where he was thinking, which was Anthony Griffin, and everyone knows that relationship. So they made that call. But if he's dilly, if there are not, he's not dilly dallying. But if he's got questions about his future at the club, and they absolutely want him to be at the club, don't they just go to Ben Hunt and say, "Listen, mate, are you happy with Shane Flanagan? Let's go get him. Or are you happy with Michael Maguire? Or are you happy with Ben Hornby? You tell us."
Not to that extent, Matty. But I think you have a discussion with him. You make him, you know, a small part of the process. Out of respect, if he's the most important player, having a, you know, and saying, "Listen, what do you know about this guy?" And then what that does is lets, you know, Ben go away and maybe talk to people who played under Flano and Madge and whatnot. Yeah, you make him part of it, but only a small part. It's very, very dangerous giving a player majority power in that instance.
Well, the interesting thing too is that he's signed at the Dragons until the end of 2025. Remember, he only did that recently, so he's there for another couple of years. So, realistically, nobody can talk to him at the moment, but rugby league can. Rugby league can still move.
No one can talk to him, but you know what happens is, you know, a coach turns up and, you know, or a CEO of another club and talks to his neighbour, who then passes some information on it. They box clever. And the thing about it is, Matty, he is contracted to the end of 2025, but you know, we say it all the time, you know, at the end of the day, if he just goes, "Nah, I don't want to be here," given the amount of money that they're paying him, then you know, you've just got to let him go. I think he will stay, and I think he wants to stay. They've just got to make a decision on the coach.
Well, the thing is, in rugby league, if there's an outcome that's palatable to both parties in this, if there's a club that wants him and this club wants to let him go, then that's where the contract until 2025 can sort of be.
He's a hell of a player.
Null and void.
I mean, he's a hell of a player. Like if you look at what he's done for Queensland at Origin, it's a little bit like Dane Gagai, in the fact that when you talk about their greatest Origin players, you go, okay, you always think about Wally and Gene Miles and JT and Lockyer and so on and so forth. Cameron Smith, of course, Billy Slater. But, mate, I tell you, the contributions of people like Gagai, and Ben Hunt is one of those guys. Like, his performance the other night, like, you know, the things that Munster did and Reuben Cotter's performance, you know, with the headlines. But Ben Hunt, watching the game for the second and third time, sitting and just watching some of the things he did, fantastic.
15 games for Queensland, 12 for Australia for Ben Hunt, and a key figure, no doubt, in what's happening at the Dragons. On that, on the open line, Shane, you've got some thoughts about the Dragons coaching search?
Yeah, Matty, and hello, Matty, too. Look, I don't know why Flano would go to the Dragons. You guys have got complete control over the coaching staff. That's the whole reason Risey didn't sign. He wanted to put on his own staff. And, I mean, Flano's experience, if they don't give him full control, why would you go there? You're going to get the blame if you don't succeed.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, exactly. But I think he would. I think Flano would back himself to sort of bring a lot of the parties together. And do you know what? You know, the thing about it, you have to tell you what solves a lot of the problems. Winning. You know, if you go in there, righto, and you start to, you know, what the Dragons need to do, righto, is they've got to appoint a coach, right? Not just a man manager, a coach. Like, real coaches, the lost art of coaching to a certain extent is getting a roster right and improving them. I hear so many coaches these days, a lot of the young coaches will get there and say, "Oh, you know, we just haven't got the roster. We haven't got this, we haven't got that." Make your players better, right? That is one of the things, right? That's one of the things that Tim Sheens historically has been brilliant at, is getting a player, and he just coaches the pants off him. Talking to Alex Twall and Johnny Bateman, they just said they do that much skill work, it's just relentless. Benji Marshall said the same thing. They said the 2005 Premiership was the culmination of just years of 2 years of Sheensy, just 3-on-2, 4-on-3, executing, doing all this different stuff. I tell you, not very few coaches do that these days. Very few coaches do it. Coaches these days are so reactive. You know, the old school coach like Wayne Bennett and Tim Sheens, and Bellamy's very good at it. Wayne Bennett said something interesting to Andrew Webster. He said, "Webby," he said, "I've been blessed that all my coaching was mainly done in the non-video era. Where, you know, where basically Wayne goes onto the training field, trains him, and he watches the bloke. and gets a gut feel and just his instincts. He knows what to say to them, how to train them, how to get them going.
It's funny, the former Wallabies coach, obviously former rugby league coach as well, Alan Jones, I got caught in a conversation with him one day, and we were talking about the basics, and Greg Cornelison was in that conversation as well, famously scored four tries up front in a test match. But Alan Jones said to me, he said, I had the best back line in the world. I had Farr Jones, I had Liner, I had Campese. And he said, but we did catch and pass. The basic drills, catch and pass, catch and pass. And in typical Alan Jones way, he said, Dame Jones Sutherland doesn't go out on stage without doing a scales. You
well,
stick to the
basics.
Well,
it had
to
be said like this. With a Michael Leiter, it's just catch and pass and let the ball do the work. Just advance it towards the touchline. That's what we're going to do. Just push it out to the edges. Just back yourself. Just do it. Come on, there he goes. There he goes. Bloody care, please, you again.
Were you there? Were you in that car at that time? Jeez, it was a long drive, but bloody hell, it was fun. It's 10:15. We need to take a break. Matty, back after this.